This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. This week, we're bringing you a series of stories from our tech contributor, Shenny Jardin. It's called Guatemala, Unearthing the Future. Shenny traveled to Guatemala to report on how modern technology is being used there to solve historic problems. Today, she follows a group of forensic scientists as they try to identify the victims of a natural disaster.
A little more than a year after Hurricane Stan devastated the Mayan village of Panabaj, what's left is a desolate dirt field. Tractors are scooping up earth. Before the mudslide, there were more than 50 homes here. Now, the houses and hundreds of the people who lived in them are 10 feet underground. Along the field edges, you see what look like scrap metal heaps. Step closer, and you see their makeshift memorials. Flowers, candles, a marker with the hand-painted names of the dead.
The people were saying it's a plane coming. It's a plane, not a mudslide.
8-year-old Juan Ramirez, nicknamed Rambo, talks about the noise he and other villagers heard in the moments before the disaster. Today, he's playing near one of the grave markers. Like all the others, it's marked with one date, October 5th, 2005. Juan says he knew the family buried beneath us.
The mother took her children by the hand and said, "Let's go, let's go." The mudslide and the tree trunks came rushing down, and the lady died. One child came running, gave the girl a doll, and the girl, like this, grabbed it to her heart, like this. Stuffed in her shirt. And they all died.
The 30-foot-high tsunami of rock, trees, and wet earth rushed down the mountain, carving a path nearly 200 feet wide, destroying everything in its way. The Guatemalan government cordoned off this zone as a high-risk area and had no plans to recover the dead. Freddy Petrelli is head of the Forensic Anthropology Foundation of Guatemala, or FAFG.
They said this is too difficult, we're just going to name the area as a cemetery and leave it be.
But survivors resisted, and the FAFG is with them now, with tractors and shovels working to unearth the dead. For more than a decade, the FAFG has exhumed mass graves from political massacres that took place during Guatemala's decades-long civil war. This time, it's a natural disaster. The army offered to help the FAFG with the exhumation. The villagers refused. Freddy Petrelli.
One thing that this community is very proud of is the fact that they kicked Guatemalan military out of here. And they won't allow them back in.
In 1990, the Guatemalan army killed 13 unarmed civilians in Panabaj, and the mudslide survivors won't accept the military's help now. So the FAFG has just two creaky tractors to cover 400,000 square feet of mudslide area. At the field's edge, the FAFG's tech staff has converted part of a long-abandoned, half-buried government hospital into a computer lab. This lab will help the forensics team keep track of bodies in the field. Again, Freddy Petrelli.
When a body is found in the excavation, they'll radio in for a number for that body.
Once that code is assigned, it will become a way to digitally track everything about that victim. The dry dirt field is covered in grid lines marked with white mineral lime. They correspond to a digital grid in the lab's computer system. Using mapping software, the lab worker will log coordinates of where the corpse was found on that digital grid. Then, field workers will carry the coded body into the morgue.
Each body here will be photographed, and then will be analyzed. What we would try to determine here is the biological profile.
Just outside the morgue, the FAFG will interview surviving family members. Tall sheets of black plastic have been erected to shield them from the sight of unearthed bodies being carried into the morgue. But before the morgue comes into use, there will have to be a lot of digging. Back in the field, one of the first excavations is underway. FAFG anthropologist Leonel Pais works with a team of young men from the village who are digging here with shovels and sticks.
This is the site where a man named Mr. Cruz had his home and a little store. The father was in this area when he last saw his son, who was with his mother.
Mr. Cruz managed to rescue his other children and returned to find his wife buried up to her shoulders in mud. They survived, but he was not able to save his young son. That's why Pais and his team are digging here, to find the body or at least some clues about where it might be. As young men stab at the ground with shovels, village girls looking on pull shawls over their faces against the dust. After hours of digging, they've uncovered their first clue, a black rubber boot that belonged to the missing boy. But on this day, that child and hundreds of other victims remain beneath the earth. For NPR News, I'm Shenny Jardin.
And Shenny joins me now in the studio. Hi.
Hi, Madeline.
And I understand that you're here because there are some developments to the story since you put this report together.
That's right. I spoke to the FAFG today, and they say that as of yesterday, they've uncovered 82 bodies and identified about 60 of them.
How many more do they think there are?
There could be as many as 500, they believe.
So how quickly do they have to unearth these bodies, identify them, and put them back in the ground?
Right. Well, again, because they're using such limited resources, they have these refrigerated trucks to hold the human remains, but the trucks keep breaking down and they have to send to other countries for the parts. It's just, so they're rushing. They have about 2.5 weeks from the time that a corpse enters that refrigerated truck to the time when they need to rebury it. They're really rushing, but trying to do it in as dignified a way as possible.
And how long do you think this whole process will take?
You know, it just really depends. They told me that they found another 4 bodies today. But again, the emphasis here is on a dignified process that brings peace to the survivors of Panabach.
And we should mention there are pictures and an audio tour of the excavation online. Listeners can go to the Shenny Tech page on our website. That's npr.org/Shenny. And Shenny is spelled X-E-N-I. So that's npr.org/XENI. And you can also download a podcast of this and other stories by Shenny Jardin. And Shenny, you have another story tomorrow.
We do. We'll be looking at how forensic and computer experts are unlocking the nation's secrets by digging into a neglected police archive.
Okay, we'll listen for that. And thank you very much for your series.
Thank you.